Thank you so much, Mike. We are doing our best to start to streamline our service, so all of you received a printed bulletin as you came in, and so more and more announcements will be heading there, and so after visiting churches all summer for myself, many churches had announcement time that were about 1 to 2 minutes, and so we want to begin to think about how we could be more efficient in that. So thank you, Mike, for keeping it nice and short, and thank you so much, Pastor Theo, for leading that time of prayer for our children, our students, our youth, our big kids, all our teachers, administrators, those that are involved. It's really important, and we are trusting this new school year to God and our kids as well, so that's just so important. One or two quick announcements before we jump into today's message. After having several congregational conversations, speaking with many of our leaders, board, key leaders, staff, and as well as many of you, we are going to be shifting our service half hour back, 30 minutes starting next Sunday. So 10 a.m. service, and then Sunday school, not just for children and confirmation class, but also adult discipleship classes, will start at 9 a.m. And so there are a lot of reasons for this change. Until we eventually grow to having what we used to have two services, and earlier and later, we felt that this is the best compromise. So 10 a.m. service starting next Sunday, and if normally you come a little bit late, then kind of ignore the 10 a.m. time, you'll be here early. So that it all works out. So 10 a.m. service starting a week from today, next Sunday, and 9 a.m. will be all our Sunday school classes. Starting also at the first of the month, first Sunday of the month, October 1st, we have also decided to bring back giving, the opportunity to give offering as part of our Sunday worship service flow. And there's a lot of reasons for that, and we know many of you are generous and give online. But after visiting many churches this summer and seeing even some of the largest mega churches passing literally orange or black buckets down the row, I said, oh my gosh, I didn't know churches still do that. And that prompted a pretty significant series of discussions. So starting in October, we will be incorporating an opportunity to give. And it's not just your generosity, your finances, but also opportunity to put in your prayer requests and also to drop your Connect cards. Finally, also, many of you have seen our special loop announcement that went out this past Friday. After serving faithfully for the past 2 years, our children's ministry director, Subazina, will be concluding her ministry here at the end of this month. So we really want to celebrate all that God has used her to really impact our children and our families on our service September 24. So that's in 2 weeks, I believe. And so please join us for that as we honor her and recognize just how God has used her. And we ask that you pray for her and her family. Pray also for Pastor Theo as he embraces the full scope of what he was called here to do, to be our family pastor, and with one integrated and united vision to disciple and minister our children from birth to 12th grade. It's a great opportunity. It's something that we've been in discussion with. And so for both Sue and for Theo, as well as all of you who have been gracious in your time and energy in serving our children's ministry, we will continue to move forward, and we just want to honor Sue in particular on the 24th. So I wanted to put that out there and let everyone know, just in case you didn't see that in the loop. One more thing. Yes, a lot of things going on. I want everyone to stand and say hi to three or four people around you. You got 30 seconds. Stand up, stretch, say hello. All right. Settle down now. I know, it's fun. It's really fun. All right. Are you ready for the benediction and ready to go home? No, we're just getting started. All right, you may have a seat. It's so good to see one another. I know traditionally in churches, they call this the passing of the peace in some churches, but it's just a chance for us to get to know each other. All right. Oh, man, this is too fun. Oh, here we go. All right. Church is much more than a perfunctory ritual. It's really a chance to be reunited with a family and friends, and that's just so important. And so I think greeting one another is a very appropriate thing to do, and it's just so great. And to shake hands, to give a hug, just to see one another is very, very important. It's part of being part of what we call the body of Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17 is what we're going to look at this morning. And as we do that, typically the Sunday following Labor Day weekend, we like to call it Vision Sunday, a chance to revisit our vision. And so for some of you who have joined us within the past year, this summer, this past couple of weeks, this may be a helpful opportunity to know what we're about and what's on my heart as pastor to move our church forward. And for a lot of us who have heard this, since it was rolled out, in 2018, it will be a good reminder, I believe, as we continue to move forward. And we're going to do it as we journey through Philippians chapter 3. Starting in verse 12, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. This is God's word. As we begin to think about why we are here, what we are trying to accomplish, and when we think about vision and mission, we would do well always to refer back to God's word, the scriptures, the Bible. And so even as we look at Philippians 3, I do believe that there is a lot that we can find and we will discover this morning that connects with our vision. Our vision flows out of the scriptures. And this time it's in Philippians 3. Many of you know on September 9th of 2018, I shared that I was sitting in our relatively newly opened Glastonbury Chick-fil-A. And it's no joke because I literally ate there like three times this week. I was there yesterday morning for breakfast. I was there for the free honey pepper chicken sandwiches. You had to say the code word, and that's why can't pass on free Chick-fil-A, and then another time before that. So, yes, I am a fan, and for some reason, as I was chowing down on Chick-fil-A in the fall, early fall of 2018, God spoke, and our vision came to be connected to Chick-fil-A, which is summed up in this phrase, pursue God and his passion for people. And some of you are familiar with our shortened form of that. Pursue God, pursue people. And I believe as I think about what God's put in my heart while I was eating Chick-fil-A a couple of years back is more relevant and important than ever. In a recent article that I came across, that it was titled by this framing, the misunderstood reason millions of Americans stop going to church, by Jake Meador. He said this: 40 million Americans have stopped attending church in the past 25 years. That's something like 12% of the population. And it represents the largest concentrated change in church attendance in American history. Let that soak in. The pandemic that all of us went through didn't precipitate this great dropout from the American church. This has been going on for the past 25 years, and in mainline denominations, probably even quite a bit longer. The pandemic merely accelerated the trends that we were already in, and it just pushed things at an exponential rate. And I believe that as we think about, and we could dissect this and analyze why is that, and we can blame culture, and we can blame the devil, we can blame ourselves, and we could, till ad nauseum, come up with ideas and theories of why that is. But I believe that more than trying to do a blame game, it's a wake-up call. It's a reminder that as God has called us and as Jesus has called us to follow him and make disciples of all nations, we realize that that is not an easy call. Bible teacher Walter Hansen said that the authenticity of faith in Christ cannot be measured only by the intensity of one's initial decision to receive Christ. Receiving Christ is a lifetime adventure. We often put so much emphasis on the conversion, and that is very important. But conversion looks different for every person. Sometimes it's loud and dramatic and emotional. Other times you're not really sure when it even happened, but for some reason you do know and you love Jesus and want to follow after him. It looks different for all kinds of people, but the key is the perseverance. The key is this lifetime obedience and call going after God in our lives. We begin as we think about what does this mean, pursue God and his passion for people? How does that look in my life? What does that mean for the church? We begin in verse 12. Not that I've already attained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because, this is critical, because Christ Jesus has made me, past tense, has made me his own. And the first reminder as we think about our vision on this Vision Sunday is that our pursuit of God and people always begins with God himself. It was Paul sitting in this Roman prison with his life crashing down before him and people abandoning him and all the discouragement you can imagine and the weight of the churches upon his shoulders. He wrote, and I am sure of this, Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus, of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you. Paul is able to pursue God. He is able with all of his heart and energies to focus toward loving others and inviting them along because he had been first pursued in his life. And I find that highly significant as we think about what does this vision really mean to me? Because Jesus Christ made me his own. That is the context of the relationships that he finds in his life. It is the great security for Paul that I have been made one of God's own first. And because of that, I'm going to pursue him with all my energies. And I'm going to pursue with his passion the people that he so loves. Paul's pursuit his ministry. All of us are called to ministry, not just the great apostle, not just missionaries, not just pastors. All of us have been called to be on mission with Jesus. And it begins not with our initiative, but really with God's, as we see in Paul. I was made his own, and because of that, I press forward. I run with all my might. It makes all the difference in the world. He became, by God's grace, even though all the things that he had done in his life, one of God's treasured beloved. And because of that, he is able to begin his journey of pursuit. All of us, and we've shared this over the years, Viola Davis, as she played Abilene Clark, the little maid. Do you remember that? You is kind. You is smart. You is important. In the movie The Help. Who of us could hold back tears as she declared these truths over this little precious soul? And I was reminded, what a beautiful picture of the gospel, that despite who we are and what we have done and what we haven't done in our lives, Jesus looks at us and says, you are loved, you are forgiven, you are now righteous, not by your own resumes, but what I have done for you. You are complete, whole, and beautiful, and I delight in you. You are my beloved son or daughter, and I adore you. And I have a mind-blowing plan and purpose for your life. I want to use you. Would that pick you up a little more than your coffee does in the morning if Jesus himself appeared in your room and said that straight to your face, looking deep into your eyes? Would that make a difference? That is the gospel. And just as our children and grandkids thrive when they grow up in a secure family and in a marriage, we are no different. You see, all the other religions in the world start with you. You do this, you do that, and hopefully you can then be accepted. But here we have a radical different kind of thing going on with the Christian faith. No one can come to the Father unless he is drawn. Jesus says that in John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Christians are aware of a power and a presence that has come upon us outside of ourselves. We have been taken hold of by God. We have been called by name to be his beloved son or daughter. We are embraced even before, like the prodigal son, have time to pull out our I'm so sorry speech. We are embraced unconditionally. And it is that embrace, it is that redemption, and that love that changes our lives and causes us to begin our pursuit. You might be quite spiritual and religious, but you aren't a true believer until you sense this coming upon you of God's Spirit through his word, the person of Jesus, meeting you, encountering you, and embracing you. God is always at work. He has been pursuing us prior to us even recognizing that. Paul realized that. He had been made one of Christ's very own. And because of that, he begins to pursue. A very fundamental but critically important truth that we see Paul reminding us again. Secondly, don't be hindered by the past. Don't be hindered by your past. We are redeemed and rescued. We're embraced. We have been made God's very own because of Jesus. we now begin to pursue the pursuer. And Paul says, how does he do that? Now that he has been pursued by God, God has been working on his life, even in his days of rebellion and putting to death followers of Jesus. He begins his pursuit. And how does he do that? I think there's gold here in verses 13 and 14. By forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. Paul certainly had things in his past that he was ashamed about, persecuting and putting to death believers, followers of Jesus, of Nazareth. I don't know if any of us have recently done that, but that would be not a good thing, right? We probably would feel a little bit guilty and ashamed. And yes, he has received forgiveness and a new chance and opportunity in his life. But I believe Paul is not necessarily referring to the shameful, dark things of his past in this passage, though certainly it's part of it. I believe that he is referring much more to his many good accomplishments in the past that could have been a stumbling block to his present task of carrying out God's call of pursuing him and others in his life. Listen to what Hansen says. He forgets and intentionally forgets what is behind in order to press on. He is not distracted by all the trophies of the past. He is able to move exuberantly into the future because he decisively throws away the burdens of the past. Forgetting is not a passive loss of memory. No, it is an active, continuous discipline of the mind and heart. We are so grateful for past opportunities and experiences and relationships and ministries that we have been graced with in our lives. But we must run and fight and pursue forward in our lives. Pastor Kent Hughes says, God calls you to a selective amnesia so that you will not be lulled from your stride. For all young and old, do not look back. Lift up your eyes. Look straight ahead. Focus. We spoke about this last Sunday in our passage in Philippians. The danger of resume righteousness versus living out your redemptive righteousness given to you because of Jesus. And we were reminded that oftentimes we try to find comfort when our egos are bruised by not turning to Jesus and our redemption, but rather what? To our resumes. It's our balm of Gilead. I've done this and that. I've gone to this school, held this position. I've accomplished this. I've served in this capacity. And we talked about, and Kathy's like, wow, honey, you went there? Longevity, yes. It's not a badge of entitlement, but rather a call and opportunity to serve those who come after you. Our faith as individuals, as in your family, and as a church, must be lived out in the present. No matter how much you've done in the past, no matter what you could put on your resume of ministry and accomplishments and education and career, Paul says, don't look back. Be thankful to God, of course, but press on. Move forward. Don't let the past hinder you. James Boyce reminds us that if your only testimony is what God did for you 5, 10, 50, 30, 50 years ago, you are constantly talking about the good old days and when God's blessing was on you seems so great, then you are looking to the past. You can never do that. Again, you must move forward. There can be progress without. There cannot be. this progress without this proper forgetting. Are you hearing what we're trying to say? Of how critically important this is. I don't think Paul was talking about all the dark things that he did, though certainly Jesus gives us new beginnings. But he's talking about moving forward, forgetting all that which you have accomplished, that God allowed you to accomplish, and to press forward unhindered by those things, lest we continue to live by a resume righteousness. And as a church of 130 years old, and we've talked about this over the past several years, our beautiful history and tradition must be the springboard for our future as we embrace God's pursuit today. Today. Right now. Be very careful, not just with your local church, but in your life, to idolize the good old days, the glory days of the past. Even Ecclesiastes, I kid you not, 7:10. Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. I found a lot of pastoral wisdom when John Piper wrote, "The point is not never look back. The point is only look back for the sake of pressing forward. Never substitute nostalgia for hope. Memories of successes can make you smug and self-satisfied. Memories of failure can make you hopeless and paralyzed in your pursuit of God." Wow, I like he used that word. Never look back like that. Give humble thanks for successes. Make humble confessions for failure. Then turn to the future and go hard after God. I love that. What is there in your past that is hindering your present pursuit of God into his amazing, mind-blowing future that he has for you and your family? Press forward. Don't let the past hinder you. Know that you have been forgiven and forever cleansed. God is a God of second and third and many chances in our lives. But when we have experienced great things in our life, career, ministry, give thanks to God. But look forward. God, what's next? And live out a testimony present in your life as you follow hard after him today. And thirdly, and finally, never journey alone. Verse 17, Paul doesn't end there. He's just talking about himself, and I'm going to pursue hard after God. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. Paul's personal pursuit leads him inevitably to think and invite others along as he pursues them. That is an absolute essential part of our journey with Jesus. And it also applies to churches today. And in our study of Unstuck Church, we have read and studied that any organization, including a church, that doesn't focus on reaching new people has already started to decline and will eventually die. And so a few years back, in the midst of the pandemic, we were reminded as a church with a beautiful history, great traditions, wonderful saints, wonderful ministers. Yes, we're so thankful, but we must what? We must pursue new people in new generations and in a new spirit if we are to embrace God's plan for our lives and for Trinity Covenant Church. We have a stubborn attachment often to the past, not just as a church, but in our lives, that ultimately, if we cannot move on from there to embrace God's present opportunities, we will begin to die. Church coaches remind pastors that healthy churches embrace new changes to get new results. And though people often say, I don't like change, I don't like the new, it makes me uncomfortable, new things require me to give up control. New things make me change. New things force me to become a new person, and I don't like that. But this is what we so often need. And so, Pastor, yes, okay, God pursued me, amen. Yes, I need to pursue God hard after him in the present, thanking him for the past is great. Okay, I need to pursue others. Are you asking me to get up on the street corner here on Keeney and start preaching and knocking on neighbors' doors and passing out gospel tracts and leading people to Christ? Well, that's not a bad idea, right? Maybe we should try that. But I'm not necessarily asking you to do those things right away, right now. I believe that as we pursue God and we pursue people, we can begin actually right here from where you are, from where you're sitting, in fact. What do you mean? Oh, are you going to make us do something uncomfortable? Well, maybe. You see, God has been bringing many new friends to Trinity over these past couple of years, this past summer, over the past couple of weeks. What a blessing. What a gift. What a gift to see older faces that we've not seen in some time return back. I believe the pursuing of God and pursuing of people, though street corner preaching and knocking on doors would be wonderful, and I encourage if God leads you to do that, go for it. But we can begin simply with a few things from right where you are. And here are some suggestions. Come on time. In fact, ignore the time change and you'll be early next week, just like we said. Why? Because God is sending people to our church through a lady that was jogging in the neighborhood, just moved into the community, to web searches, to invited by a friend, to whatever. 9 out of 10 times, new visitors, new people almost always come 20 to 30 minutes earlier to get situated, because if you've ever visited a brand new place, you get that's a hard thing. It's nerve-wracking. You want to make sure, where's the bathroom, where do I check in, where do I get a bulletin, where do I, this and that. Newcomers come almost always early. So come on time. In fact, come a little bit earlier, because it's one of the best opportunities to pursue people while you're at church, because they come early and you can shake hands, you can greet them, you can welcome them. It's a simple thing, but it makes all the difference in the world. It's the low-hanging fruit. God is sending new people to us. And when we're coming 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes after the start time of worship, we are not only trying to get our bearings straight in the rush and fighting in the car with our kids and all this, and I speak out of profound experience, personal experience, but it's a great opportunity to get things set. It's like hosting a party, hosting a special event. If you're going to invite 100 people to a special celebration, and you're the host, you're not going to show up 30 minutes after the start time. You're going to start getting things ready so that the guests experience your hospitality, your love, your care. You want them to have the best experience possible. And so, folks, how can we pursue people? Yes, knock on doors, preach on the street corners, pass out the tracts, all those things. But we could simply just come on time or come a little bit earlier. And as you do that, welcome the people that God is sending. Number two, make a new friend. Is this kindergarten, Pastor? What are you talking about? Make a new friend. As you prepare to leave, before saying hello to your same old friends that you've been friends with for 30 years, God bless your relationship, friendship, you will always have time and opportunity to say hi to them during the week because you're friends. But if there's someone that you don't know, could you make a new friend by saying, welcome to Trinity? For now, we're in one service. When we go to two, eventually, it will be a little trickier, right? And I've heard many of the concerns, and they're all real legitimate, but make new friends. Take a moment to warmly greet someone you don't know, or if you don't know their name, do what I've been doing. I'm sorry again. What was your name? It makes all the difference in the world to someone who's nervous and in whose life God is beginning to be working in, to reach out, to say hello. Then you can catch up with all your Trinity friends anytime later. Thirdly, stepping on toes, play musical chairs. We all have our favorite spot. Our favorite spot where we usually sit week after week, month, year after year, decade after decade. I get it. We're creatures of habit. But here's a great challenge. Play musical chairs. Maybe sit in a different spot in the hinterlands, far to the corner distance in no man's land. And people will say, what are you doing in so-and-so chair? Right? They kind of start freaking out. Like, what's going on? Is Jesus coming back today? What's going on? Right? But could you imagine then you take time to say hello to three or four new folks that typically sit in the same spot decade after decade and say hello, shake it up, mix it up. You will be able to do some wonderful ministry just by knowing names of people that you say you are brothers and sisters in Christ with, bought by the blood of Jesus. Make a new friend. Play musical chairs. And folks, let us never forget to always invite. The power of the invitation. You may not have the gift of evangelism. The idea of praying with someone, leading them to Jesus, may not be your cup of tea. We're all called to do it in a way that works and is comfortable to us. Sometimes we're called to come out of our comfort zone, yes. But all of us can invite. In a survey done, what initially brought you to church? 6 to 8%, I walked in by my own initiative. 2 to 3%, it was because of your great children's program or youth or adult Bible study. 2 to 3%. 8 to 10%, like the pastor. Woohoo, yes. Oh, yeah. 3 to 4% had a need met by the church. 1 to 2% were because they were evangelized and they showed up. 3 to 4% were attracted by a Sunday school program. 85% invited came because they were invited personally by a relative or friend. And we often think, well, we're not like the churches, a mega church of 10,000 people and all this and that. We don't need that. A warm, sincere, we would love to have you come by. Come by, worship. If there's an event going on, we'd love to have you join us. We have a small group starting up in the neighborhood. We'd love to have you and your family come by. We're going to have a dinner party. Come and see was the buzzword of Jesus' ministry as he gathered the early disciples. Come. And see the power of invitation. When was the last time we even thought about inviting those that God sends our way in our daily lives? Many of you are here because you were invited by someone this past month, 5 years ago, 25 years ago. We are to pursue people. And these are a few simple ways I could think of to begin that pursuit by people that God is already sending our way. And so, 10 o'clock service next week, folks. Not too shabby. It's not too early. We can come early. We can greet people, help set up. We're hosting. We're showing the hospitality of God. Invite. Mix it up a little bit from where you sit. We love to be comfortable, but be on mission for God even in choosing where you sit as we pursue people, because that is the heart of God. And so Trinity Covenant Church will be a church that pursues God and his passion for people starting through gospel movement, starting in Manchester, our communities, and then the world. Pursue God and pursue people. And as we ask, how can we make Manchester and the surrounding communities become places that reflect God's beauty of his kingdom and the majesty of Jesus Christ? It is that question that I want us to frame as we continue to move forward in our vision and in our ministry and in our lives. I believe that though, yes, quite a few changes are happening this fall, as we make them according to the vision that God has given to us, I believe that we are going to see amazing things this coming year as we are reminded that we have been pursued by God. We are called to pursue him as we look forward, not back. And as we pursue people with the passion, we can begin with the simple things of even greeting people that we don't know their names. As soon as the amen is amen, and you're sent forth to enjoy your lunch, which we'll do in just a minute or two here, may we truly learn to discover joy in the pursuit of God and his passion for people. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the great reminder that you have been pursuing us even before we were born. We are so humbled by the pursuit, that tenacious, gracious, at times confusing pursuit that brings us to you each and every day. Lord, you pursue us because we are just like the lost sheep, running toward cliffs, hurting ourselves, looking to our own resumes of righteousness rather than the one who has redeemed us with an unconditional embrace. I pray that if there's anyone here that would love to know what that embrace is like, may they offer up this simple prayer, which I'll invite you to. Lord, I receive your embrace. I want to trust you as Lord and Savior. Would you help me to know what it is like to have my confusing, unending journey of looking for meaning and love made end today as I find it in you? I receive you into my life as Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for the ways in which you have pursued us and brought us into that relationship with you. May we pursue hard after you, as we see the Apostle Paul doing even from a Roman dungeon. Help us not to look back, but to look forward as we create new testimonies of God's mercies, miracles, and grace today, not just from 30 years ago. Help us to run hard after you as we pursue you and as we pursue people. Thank you for those that you've been sending our way here at Trinity, and we pray that as we pursue all those you are bringing across our path here at church, in our neighborhoods, at work, at school, at soccer practices, whatever it might be, help us as we pursue you and people, the Trinity Covenant Church will experience a new day, a renewal like no other, and you would use us in the years to come. We thank you for the beautiful history. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities today. So we give you thanks, honor, and glory, and we commit ourselves to you in Jesus' name.